Hi there, beautiful souls. It is Miranda Mitchell, the host of the Provoking Prosperity Podcast. Today, I am so thrilled that you're tuning in because I have a special guest, Erin Kraisk, who is a remarkable coach who loves to go into the unraveling of self-discovery and transformation. And we go deep into shedding beliefs, embracing acceptance, and the quest that we have to find authenticity and how we can bring that out into the world through our creative expression endeavors and businesses. So I hope that you enjoy this. Grab your cup of coffee, grab a notebook if you're not driving. If you're driving, maybe come on back and let's dive in. Do you spend all of your time building and maintaining your business so that you achieve the success you envision? Do you feel frustrated, unfulfilled, and have a loss or disconnect from your creative flow? Are you a conscious leader that is ready for change when it comes to society's views on money, wealth, relationships, and what prosperity truly means? If so, you are in the right place. Welcome to the Provoking Prosperity Podcast. I am your host, Miranda Mitchell. I am a 2-4 Manny Gen who is here to empower and equip you to step out of the box of social norms, guide you into using your voice for inspiration and impact, and support you in finding what prosperity means for you so that you have the business and life that fulfills you. So grab that cup of coffee, get comfy, and get ready to hear the heartwarming and heart-wrenching personal stories, all things human design and jinkies, plus tangible practices that you can implement right now for your personal and business growth. Hello, beautiful soul. This is Miranda Mitchell with the Provoking Prosperity Podcast. And I am here today with a beautiful person that I was able to connect with earlier. And we were able to discuss creativity and the executive coaching and business realm. I would love for you to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, Miranda, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me and for having me here. And to tell you the truth, you were the first person responding to my pitch. So you are the pioneer that I've been inviting me to podcast, and I'm massively grateful. It's like, wow, really? Really, somebody that responded. What can you say about me? I'm a business and leadership success coach. And it's a little bit different from executive, I guess, because I target different audiences and I work only with impact-driven businesses. So it may not be this corporate executive vibe that you would expect from an executive coach. I'm basically trying to distance myself from it as much as possible. I have experience in corporate businesses where I progressed to the brand director level and then going through the period of deep personal transformation, I emerged on the other side as a coach, something that I didn't know I would do. I had no idea I was writing the book. Basically, when I entered this period of transformation, I was an employee and all I knew about life is how to be, I can't say not a good employee, but in a way I was very good in what I was doing, but I wasn't very good in blending in and following the rules. So you can call me an imperfect employee, although a professional. So I entered with this idea. So I was like, okay, right. During the period of transformation, I had no idea what I'm going to be doing in my life because my identity was going through a dissolution process. So at the moment of time, I have no identity, which actually feels absolutely amazing. And when I gone through it, I was like, okay, at the download, you're going to be a coach. You're like, wow, I love the idea. I didn't know, again, anything about coaching. And here I am. So after almost 2 years of studies, I studied everything. Psychology, therapy, counseling, ICF coaching, niche coaching, all you can think about human nature, mental health, quite a lot of mental health studies. Now I kind of requalified and enjoy working with my clients.
Perfect. I love that you said the transformation because that, as I intuitively listen, certain words stick out for me. And you said transformation a couple times. I'd love to hear a little bit more about what this transformation was, what happened for you, and what do you think the reason was this transformation occurred?
Oh, that is a very good question, because usually I don't discuss it because I feel quite personal. And it doesn't mean I will discuss it. I call it transformation not to scare people away, because not everybody is in tune with that. I guess in the other world, it's called awakening. Awakening can have different approaches depending, you know, it's like different level of consciousness and different philosophies or schools of thought when I have different definition of what it is. The way I describe it, the way I feel it, and the way that comes more comfortably to me personally, it will be more in line with Buddhist philosophy. And this is why I call it identity dissolution, because this is how they would describe this process.
Wow. First of all, I love that you don't usually share it. I'm a huge advocate for getting into the messy and being transparent and like opening things up. So I'm glad that I touched a little bit on the identity dissolution. Is that what you said? Is that correct?
Yeah.
So can you explain a little bit about what that meant for you? So we, as an audience, for myself and for the audience, what that means or what that meant for you?
Well, I had my certain, I guess, like everybody else, and I'm no way different. So I had my self-definition, self-concept, the way I was describing myself. I had beliefs about myself, about the people around me and about the world. All that together with excessive thinking was creating different patterns in my life, ending up, for example, in judgment or expectations or desires or stress through thriving and trying hard to achieve something. So all that was shaping me, as well as my understanding of what a valuable person in society may mean, because it has certain, my concept has certain conditions, right? You have to be this to be perceived this way, or you have to be that to be perceived this way. And when you go through the process, I guess the stages are very similar for many people, but I guess the process can be different. So it's not for us to choose. So in my case, everything that I created for myself as description of who I am and what I appreciate myself for, all that was taken away from me. So it was like, you know, I was walking through the life on crutches, and then taken away, and you have to stand up by yourself with no support of what you created as your identity, once you created as support for your self-esteem. So with time, you lose it all. And by the end of the process, first of all, you're totally naked. And secondly, you know, the one thing that I heard many people experience the way I did, I came to the mirror and I was looking in the mirror and I saw my reflection. But you have this, it's a very, very end of the process, but you have this impression that you don't understand who is looking at you, you know, from the other side of the mirror. It's like your mind is split. It's like a dual personality disorder. You recognize yourself and you don't recognize yourself, and you can't understand where is the right person, physical self or your reflection. That is actually quite scary. And then you appear on the other side just being totally lost, because you can't define yourself in any other way, and everything that you're used to is not around you to support you.
I just read a quote this morning, and I don't know who it was by, and I probably will not say it exactly right. But when you said that you woke up totally lost, the quote was said, if you are never totally lost, you are following someone else's path. I feel like we all go through different experiences in life.
Mm-hmm.
Although they all bring us to the same result. They're just like a lot of yoga philosophies. A lot of different people do different yogas, but then the result is the same. It's just the journey there is different. So the identity and the reawakening your identity or acknowledging who you are, letting go. I call that conditioning. Conditioning is when we have these conditioned beliefs of what we think.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. What we should be, what we should do, what is success? Well, who am I? And it is scary when you finally realize all of these things that I thought I was is just my mind or my fears, trying to put myself in a safe space so I understand myself. But that's not really true. So this work that you did that brought you to here, to this space, to coaching, to guiding other people, is this what you also do with them? Or how does this differ from who you work with and how you support them?
Oh, yeah. So that's actually a very good question, because to get to my philosophy, to have my coaching philosophy, I had to merge the unmergeable. So I had to merge the book that I was writing, that is Strategy Guide, my business experience, my life experience, my personality, my hobbies and interests, and the direction I want to go to develop myself in, because it had to be authentic to who I am, and also had to spread the message that I firmly believe in. Otherwise, I don't believe you can be a good coach. It may be limiting belief, but in reality, you teach what you preach what you live, right? So that would be my ideal approach. So I had to kind of merge it all together and came up with this effortlessness philosophy that goes through different stages. And what I am empowering my clients with is two steps, the two ultimate results. So the first one is freedom. Living by their own rules. So accepting authenticity, accepting themselves, and stop caring about what other people say or do. There are no more rules. The only rule that exists, or at least what exists in my world, is what makes me comfortable. If it doesn't make me comfortable, it doesn't belong to my world. And that is a very easy way to live, because you don't have any distress or disturbances that come when you try to readjust to people or the world around you. The second thing, so it's a mindset thing. And the second one is a state of mind. So it's bringing them to the state of not having any thoughts, because all our troubles come from our thinking. The problem is that often we take our thinking as appeal to action. It's like, I think it, which means that I need to feel it, and which means that I need to do it. We don't realize that thoughts are not material. They are just passing through our head. And we let our thoughts rule our lives. What I empower people to do, my clients to do, is to control their thoughts so they are in control. It's much more empowering than being a victim of your own thinking. So that's two directions that I work on. I mean, it's not quite life coaching, because I still work with executive and leaders, business leaders. And I do have business programs, coaching programs too. But that all goes through the prism of making it effortless, making the life and business easier, because it shouldn't be that difficult, shouldn't be that complicated. One truth that I learned, that our lives and businesses are as effortful as we make it. The second truth that I learned is that we are much better than we believe we are. We just don't know about it. And there's so many people that are afraid of looking deep inside themselves. They are so afraid of self-reflection because they're going to find out something that they don't like. So I would like to reassure every listener, if you find out something that you don't like, it's not you. It's your conditioning. Because underneath, you are the most confident, powerful, and potent individual. So we just a matter of taking away the layers of what doesn't serve us to get to our true core and to live from this place. And it feels amazing. So that I can guarantee. I can't obviously make anybody go through awakening, but I can facilitate a transition.
So basically, you're also saying the mind was controlling everything. You're kind of, and I don't like the word manipulating, but that is kind of what it is. The mind is manipulating the entire life. But I remember at a point in time in my life, I would plan everything. It was like almost like I had tunnel vision. So I would have a plan and I would move through the steps. I would get things done, even though it may have been very hard or there were struggle or took a long time or didn't feel right. But now that I have tuned more into my body, because human design is actually about tuning into your body. It's not about the mind. So it's like what feels right. Where is your body responding before the mind takes over? And it sounds like you're also doing that same aspect. It's like connecting to the body before the mind. Is that correct?
Not really, because I mean, if I try to really narrow down what I do, I would say that I'm a mindset and state of mind coach. Why your approach doesn't resonate with me personally? For a very simple reason. If you know Myers-Briggs, right? In Myers-Briggs personality type, I am thinking type, but I think 85% or 90%. I'm extreme thinker, which means that it's already quite rare. But also, I think only 25% of women are thinkers, 75% are feelers. So I am very logical, analytical, rational. So factual, that's my way of operating. And what I noticed about myself, that all that is somatic, you know, tune to a body, screening meditation, feel how it feels within, how your body responds. I just don't feel it. You know, it doesn't, I believe it may be again, you know, linked to the fact that I'm very extremely kind of thinking type. And I would love to have it develop, because I believe that all the intuition we're talking about, and I believe I have it, like everybody does, but mine is hidden so deep inside, I can't actually surface it. I believe that intuition is something that your body tells you. You listen to it and you know. I was like, yes, I want to have it too. I'm not the right person to comment on this one because, yeah.
Well, no, which of Myers-Briggs, do you happen to know the four... What are the four letters?
The first one is, it's a kind of borderline in between both. It's I and E, depending on circumstances, so it can fluctuate. And then it's S, T, J.
Ah, that's very interesting. So I am an XNFP.
I was talking to somebody who is similar to you, I guess. And when the person learned my type, he said, you know what? Now I know. You know how much I don't like people like you? Like, okay, why fair enough?
Well, it's very interesting because I'm currently in a training program called Equine Gestalt. So I'm learning to work with horses and people, and we use the typology as a key tool. So that's
for
one
horses?
Of our ways. Huh?
For horses?
No, the typology of you, of the individual person. There's a key way in how we guide and ask questions. So as you were speaking, I was like, oh, I think she's totally the opposite with the thinking and the S and the J. But I will say, I've been in this program a year and I was a high J. And it was all conditioning. My J was conditioning because of how I grew up and how I had to be in life. And I just took my test last week and it's like, 16, a very high P.
You know what? I think that this is something that I definitely need to do, because I did it after the awakening. And there were certain things that definitely changed, because I was pretty much extreme on all letters. And also, I'm pretty sure that judging should change to perceiving, because I don't have any judgment at all about anything. So I problem zero. I don't know. I'm not sure I'm going to have my perception developed, but judgment is definitely non-existent in my world.
Yeah.
And it's well, that doesn't help you kind
so,
of
like the structure. The P is more so spontaneity. Not only
not me.
Okay. Yeah. See, I thought that wasn't me. And then when I retook that, I realized that the reason I had conditioned myself to be that J was because the way my mother was, I didn't want to be her. So I made a decision when I was younger that I didn't want to be her.
How interesting. It makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
So now I understand while we're talking about the thinking aspect and how we're totally the opposite, but also then it gives me the opportunity to realize how you think, how to ask you questions, right? That will make you feel. Because it's not that you don't feel. It's not that you don't have
emotions. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I'm human.
It's just the thought, you're like, am I feeling right now? Because you get thinking about the feeling.
Yeah, I just don't think about it. I guess I'm in a state of mellow emotions all the time. I don't have up and downs. So I'm just, you know, like satisfactory, joyful state throughout whatever. That's why it's very difficult to pinpoint feelings because they're always kind of calm and yeah.
Yeah, since you've done all that work and you understand who you are. So who are the people that you really love to work with, that you really connect with on a deep level, that you know that you can move them from where they are at? And I know we can do that for anybody, but who's the people that make you like, oh my goodness, I want to work with these people because I know I can really support them in their growth?
Impact-driven business owners. Because again, I'm kind of in the state that the world or the life is worth living when you contribute, when you do good, when it's not only for you, it's for other people, right? So I have no interest to work with businesses that are only about their personal egos or wealth or whatever. Business is what I believe in firmly, that businesses are change agents. They do the power to change the world because politicians won't do it. Society won't do it either because there are too many people that are dependent financially, many industries, on what's happening right now. So if you want to change something, one individual isn't enough. But if businesses contribute and use their power, their leverage, what they're given to make the world a better place, it's irrelevant whether it's for pets, it's for people, it's for planet, for communities. It's irrelevant because there's so many things in our life, in our world, that need to be improved. They must be improved. So that are the people that I want to empower so they can bring even more goodness.
Like the ripple effect. You're supporting them so they bring more
goodness. Exactly.
Yes. I looked at your website beforehand and I loved some keywords that showed up a lot, like authenticity showed up a lot. I truly feel like, especially in business, in our entire life, actually, authenticity and finding out who we are is so important. And then the status quo, the rebel, that just like gets me excited because this podcast is provoking prosperity, is provoking social norms, provoking things that everyone thinks we have to do to be successful or to be happy. So I would love for you to explain to us, how have you provoked that status quo and what excites you about breaking through the norm and the conformity in business?
It's just because it's amazing. Okay, I'm a natural born rebel. I don't know how to live otherwise. I love challenging everything and anything that I disagree with that doesn't suit me because I go my own way. To do it, there are a few things. You can't really be free without two conditions. So the first condition, you are responsible. You hold responsibility for your freedom. Nobody else does. Freedom comes with responsibility for what you do, what you say, who you are. So that's many people don't like because they prefer to stay in the state of a victim instead of taking responsibility and taking charge. The second thing about, what did I want to say? I guess I believe I lost my trail of thought. So, yeah, it was something meaningful. I have to say, it had to be something meaningful. I just lost it.
That's okay. Well, I do know your chart. And I know we discussed a little bit earlier on how you kind of push against some of it, which I do love because I feel like every person has their own unique journey of their self-realization, of their growth, of their awakening in life. And we get to choose what feels right to us. So human design may not feel right to you. And I also know sometimes I've talked to people years ago who were like, no, that's okay. It's not, I don't feel right. But then later on, the seed is still there where something kind of just shows up, you know? So you do have an open ajna, and that's the space of the third eye. So what that means is you can lose your train of thought because ideas and stuff come in and you get all your ideas from everyone around you, from people, from things, from the environment. And all these ideas are not all yours. They're for you to receive and then to feel into what's right for you.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I have an undefined ajna too. And it's like things go in and things come out. And it's like, well, I guess either.
Well, thank you so much. You make me feel so much, much better. You go on to your podcast. I don't even know what I'm supposed to say. Like, oh my God, crap. No, okay. Well, thank you so much. Yeah.
That's... Oh my goodness. And that just warmed my heart because an aspect from human design, which you kind of are like, I don't know, actually made you feel good about yourself. So win-win.
All right. Okay. Give it to you. Again, fine. Fair enough.
Is there anything else that you want to share with the audience about you, your story, what you bring, why you bring it, why it's important? What is important about this for you to connect with as many people in life? Anything else that just is coming up for you that you need to share right now?
I believe two messages that I had, and those, you know, that my ultimate truth. So the first one is that life isn't as challenging as we think it is. And the second one, we are much better than we think we are. So those are two profound truths that I deeply believe in because this is what I experienced. And I'd love to say something, you know, about status quo because I love your questions. I really love talking about, you know, challenging the society and the beliefs and just be yourself. So it's not only about the sense of responsibility, it's also you have to have very strong moral code and ethics to be free because it's very easy to make a wrong step if you are not defined, you know, by your own kind of life motto, or it's even beyond values. It's just kind of into ethics. So I have my own motto, for example. Do no harm in thoughts, words, or behavior, or actions. So I don't even allow myself to think negatively about people, let alone talk or behave. So that's my kind of moral code that I adhere to. And that, together with a sense of responsibility, allows me to challenge the norms because often my ethical standards are much higher than I expected by society, by other people. So this is why I can be 100% free, because I know it's going to do no harm to anybody. And I take responsibility for what I am, who I am, what I do. So if you have these two in place, then you can rebel, challenge the status quo, and create your own world for yourself. And sometimes it may sound scary because you stop being like everybody else and you may lose people along your way. But in reality, you will gain different people. You will establish much stronger connections. You know, when you come from the place of personal freedom, of accepting yourself for who you are, of creating this moral standards that you are comfortable with and you will be comfortable with, because it's not possible. We're not made to be bad people. We're not made to harm others. We just need to come to the state where we know that we're in comfort with goodness that we are. And from this place, you can kind of free yourself for the rest of your life.
It's basically authenticity of knowing who you are and then having the responsibility, taking on that responsibility of who you are and having a deep connection with your morals. Do you believe that each person has a different moral compass?
That is a very good question. No, I believe we may have different values, but if we talk about moral compass, I think inside our human design, how we're meant to be when we were born, I believe that we're meant to be good people that contribute. That is something that inherently ours. We, again, just lose it. We forget about it. We devalue it. It doesn't really matter what happens. It's just a matter to come to this core. And then I believe that the whole world will move in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been idealistic, to be honest. So it sounds like I am, but it's, again, it's something that I firmly believe in. So it's not idealistic. I know that it's not possible anytime, at least, you know, for as long as I live, I don't believe it's going to be changed. But I do believe that we have this capacity. Whether we explore this capacity, that's something I would definitely doubt. about what happens.
Yeah, definitely. And that even goes to fears. You know, there's a lot of people that are stuck in fight or flight. They have no connection to who they truly are. They're in their conditioning. They're looking externally for validation, love, support, all of that, rather than tuning internally, which you mentioned in the beginning. I forgot to mention this. I feel like this acceptance part is also like, we already inherently know who we are. We've just lost it because we're constantly looking externally for something, like we've lost something.
Yeah.
But it's all in here. It's all about reconnecting to ourselves and then bringing that out into the world with love. So like my thing is totally just love. Loving every person for who they are in the moment, even when they're not at their highest frequency, even when they are struggling or they're lashing out, understanding it's not against me, it's their stuff. So always looking with kindness, always looking with love, because then that is then exuded out for me whoever I come into contact with.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I agree with you with the kindness aspect, even though the wording is a little different. Because for me, it's all about love, but that's also,
it's definitely a different world. I mean, it's the word that I don't use very often in my vocabulary. I'm just different archetype. Mm-hmm. So, but
I'm a feely person.
Yeah, exactly. You're feeling. What we're talking about? Kindness and compassion. Those are two words that resonate with me personally. And acceptance. You may not be my best friend because we don't resonate, but nevertheless, I'll still accept you for who you are. That is important. We may not walk together, but there's no judgment. There's no expectations from you. And also, there's a very deep understanding in terms of what you went through, because I don't think we realize how much impact our lives actually has on us, or how much we allow our life to have impact on us. That's in different ways. More empowering because, we're not victims. We choose what impacts us and what doesn't.
The acceptance is key.
It's key.
Because it's acceptance. You accept that we may be, like, people may be different. And also, everyone has to accept themselves for who they are and not try to conform and who they think other people should
and
want them to be.
And not to seek approval, something that you referred to earlier.
I feel where the power comes in, the empowerment that you mentioned before. When you understand who you are, then you go against social norms because you have this deep sense of who you are. And if it doesn't feel right to you, you're just like, that is not for me. So I'm not doing this.
Exactly. Yeah. So if we talk about your language, then probably you have this fantastic opportunity, first time in your life, to love yourself. And to respect yourself and to accept yourself and to care of yourself. You know, I don't know how to say it. It may sound selfish, but it's not selfish. We need to love ourselves first and foremost. And only when we find peace with who we are and appreciation of us for who we are, only from this place we can give to other people. Using your vocabulary, stealing.
Well, that's... I feel like every time we're able to come in a connection with another person is for a reason. It's for a learning experience with an open heart, open mind, taking whatever it is that you're able to receive from that person and using it with love and just taking it in rather than judgment. We talked a little bit about how human design doesn't really resonate in some of the wording. So I would love to hear what didn't resonate with you. And then I'm going to share a little bit about how I see human design and what it has given me. And then that way we can just have a discussion about it.
Well, first of all, I want to see my chart.
Okay. Okay.
And secondly, there were just few words that I didn't believe describe. I also found, because once I briefed a person on, briefed was a beautiful word on a personalized horoscope. It's like, he was Vedic astrologer.
Okay.
And he asked me, you know, all longitude and all this kind of small details in terms of when your cord was cut or something. And the one I found on the internet, it didn't ask me for such details. So I thought, you only asked me for my birthday there's so many people born on this day. So it already doesn't feel like really tailor-made to who I am. It feels a bit more generic and I do have doubts about it. And then again, I saw a couple of words, so like, yeah, or whatever. So it's like a star sign.
Mm-hmm. Human design is based on Western astrology, not Vedic. So it's mm-hmm. not based on the Vedic astrology. Right. It is based on the Chinese I Ching, the Tree of Life, quantum mechanics, Western astrology, and then the chakras. So the centers are basically mm-hmm. on the chakras. However, there are nine here because through human design in 1781, there was an evolutionary split of the chakra centers. So that's why there's nine centers. I have talked to I've talked to a couple of Vedic astrologers about human design because a lot of people are going back from the Vedic astrology and looking at it through the Vedic lens and looking at it through Western. Ra downloaded this information during a supernova and it was based on the Western. So I personally feel like when we're playing around with the other aspects before this happened, it's not really that accurate. Mm-hmm. Like it's the evolution of us, the earth, the environment as we grow. Because I feel like the earth itself is alive. Every time we grow and evolve, the earth is learning too. I mean, we're shifting and growing. So to bring the Vedic to this aspect, I personally feel, and it's just my personal thing, I personally feel it's inaccurate because it was before this occurred. So this is
okay.
Yeah. And yes, there are many people that were born on the same day, same time, even same place as you. However, there is this decimal point here in your chart. So you'll notice like at the top at this red, there's a 0.6. What this decimal point represents is a line. There are six different lines, and each line has a different way of experiencing this gate. Let's say this person had 55.5. It would experience the same gate in a different aspect because the line represents a different thing. It also takes into consideration conditioning, like who were your parents? What epigenetics do you have, right? Because we have all of these things within our cellular DNA as well. So not one single one of us is the same because of epigenetics, who our parents are, what experiences we have, what traumas we're working through, what beliefs we've had. I feel for human design, I feel is the more masculine energy. There's also called the gene keys. Have you heard of the gene keys?
Yeah. I think that probably it was the gene keys that I did. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the one that I did.
Okay. Yeah. So human design was first. Ra received all this information, brought it out into the world. Mm-hmm. Gene keys, Richard Rudd studied with Ra for a very long time, but then he started going into the physical DNA and the epigenetics and the proteins and all of the things within our body. And that's what the gene keys is. So I feel like personally, human design is more of a masculine approach. You see the tangible evidence of like, okay, I have an open head. I have an open ajna. So what that means is I take in everybody's ideas and inspirations and conceptualization and open-minded to think. Mm-hmm. And then I feel into my body or think, depending on how you process things, to make the decisions. Then with the gene keys is more of a cellular remembering after you've already worked through some of the beliefs about yourself.
Okay.
So that's the difference between those two. And that is a little bit about the Western rather than the Vedic. Do you have questions about looking at your chart? And what were some of the words that didn't really resonate that you're like, oh, that's putting it in a box? Because conformity, I totally get that. So emotional manifesting generator. What?
I think this is the one, one of the best that I wanted to be. This is the one I was referring to.
Well, I'm a manifesting generator. There's a manifesting generator and generator. You put those together normally. We're here on a creative realm. We're here to create. to be on the physical plane, to work, to build things, to connect, to heal. And then there's the projector. The projector is 20%. They see the energies of other people rather than themselves. So they actually take in a lot of amplified energy and have to rest a lot. They're here to guide. They don't like right. to work as much.
Okay. Then there's how many of us we have in percent?
The manifesting generators, I believe, are 33%, and then generators are 37%.
Okay.
The projectors are 20%. Then there's the manifester, who is 9%. They're basically, I like to say, they're the sprinters. They receive these downloads and then have to get everything done really quick, but can only do it for a short period of time and then need to rest. Then there's the reflectors. When you look at this chart, every single one of these shapes is white. So what that means is they're kind of like a mirror reflection of their environment. So they're basically observing their people or the environment around them. And if they're not happy and healthy, then their environment is not happy and healthy. So what I like to say with all of these types is if you feel into or listen or think into what I just explained about what each type is, we're here to support one another. We're not here to compete. We're not here to overdo, overwork. We're here to support. So you have the generator types, the generator, manifesting generator being creative on the physical form, doing the work, building the things, building the communities, connections, the growth. Then you have the projectors who oversee the energy and guide us towards things. Then the manifestors receive these downloads that start the process of these things. And then the reflectors are the barometer to reflect on what's good, what's healthy, and what's not. So we're here to support one another.
Well, that is very interesting. So I would assume that everybody will be one of these types.
Yes.
So which means that every person is meant to support each other.
Yes.
And to build something good. So why is it not happening?
Because we're so caught up in our ego and ourselves and being successful individually by external rewards that we're not seeing the overall vision of humanity.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty much back to what we were discussing before.
It also gives us it's given me understanding the differences, because this is just top level. There's many different elements in here. There's the lines, there's the gates, there's all the things, but it gives me an understanding that we're not all the same. We don't all thrive in the same way. Mm-hmm. There's circuitry within this. There's logic circuitry. There's knowing circuitry. There's sensing circuitry. And I always used to say, well, I don't understand. That's like common sense. And if I can do it, I don't understand why they don't have the energy to do it. But now, because I understand this, I was able to look at the chart and see there was not a lot of logic in their circuitry. It's not who they are. And they didn't have the energy of the manigen. They had the energy of the projector. So I was putting all this projected expectations on this person when that energy is not who they are. So I was able to love them for who they are and support them in what their brilliance is. That's the true power of understanding human design, is loving and accepting each of us and who we are and what we're here to give. When I teach, I go first into the centers, into the type, into the strategy, because that's most important. In 2027, we're moving out of the spleen here. So the spleen represents like instinct, intuition, and then we're moving into the emotional solar plexus, which is creativity, connection to consciousness, having a deeper connected awareness of something bigger. We're moving into this emotional solar plexus in 2027. The shift is happening. And you can already see the difference that is happening with people, vegans, vegetarians. There's not as many people eating meat. Sexuality is shifting. And that is also in the chart. Like, these things are shifting and growing. So the next generation is going to be very interesting to see what their work is going to be on.
It's like, basically, it's a reflection of evolution spiral.
I will say I'm very grateful that you shook your head and nodded your head yes a few times.
Did I?
That you're like, yeah, that kind of, I get that. I understand that a little bit.
No, I do. Yeah, I do. So I don't know. I mean, website, I don't really remember where chapters. Yeah, there just were a few words that stood up for me. I was like, no, that's me. And this is why I kind of, you know, was a bit hesitant. But I do like this kind of energy consciousness approach to the whole thing, because that definitely resonates.
There are some people that use human design that are in a box. I've met some people that are kind of in a box. They don't open up to, okay, this is where I have conditioning. This is part of who I am. And then how can I step into a higher potential?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel we can use it. We are never in a box. We have the potential to grow and to learn new perspectives. If you want to put yourself in a box through human design, that's your choice. But you have the potential to release the conditioning,
right,
understand yourself, and then what's the next step?
Okay. That's exactly the step that my coaching philosophy and coaching follows. Because lots of coaches, they would start with, what are your values? What is your vision? What is, you know, whatever. So basically what you can see in the future for yourself, which is fantastic, you know, because you still need to have an aspiration. But when you go through this getting rid of your conditioning that doesn't serve you, and you appear to be a different person, again, from what you expected, and a much better, much more genuine, often your vision and your values and your aspiration, they change.
And that we get to grow and evolve who we were last year, 5 years,
yeah,
last month. That's not who we are now.
Yeah, but not everybody does it. Not everybody grows.
But that's why we're here. We're here to seed those things so people start to want to grow.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I want to thank you. Thank you for everything that you brought. Thank you for connecting with me. Thank you for your time. I loved our conversation. I loved how it moved and flowed.
But we didn't talk about creativity.
Of social norms, understanding who you are, accepting yourself, and then creating the life and the business that you truly want so that you're authentic in it.
So just to answer a question about creativity, because it's very much related to what you've just said, why businesses are afraid of being creative and innovative? Because creativity means loss of control. So ask me how to be creative. Let control go. You know, be yourself. Open your mind. Don't think about what you can't do. Don't think about what other people expect from you. Don't think about how it was supposed to be done because everybody did it this way. Just let go of everything that limits you and explore whatever idea comes to mind. It doesn't mean it's going to be perfect, but it means that somebody else will be able to build on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So all those seeds, again, that you were referring to earlier, collectively, they will come and create something different idea, as long as you stop being afraid of whatever you're afraid, and then work with creativity.
Creativity opens you to potentially having a life that you couldn't even imagine, because
yeah,
you're opening up to that creative process rather than what you said, being controlled and staying within the conformity, and then letting yourself feel those fears,
yeah,
but then continuing to do it anyway.
Or realizing that fears are just thoughts. So there's actually nothing to fear about when you allow yourself to control your thinking and not your thoughts to control your life.
Well, I'm very grateful for our connection. I'll put all your information in the show notes. So everyone that wants to connect with you and reach out to you, I'll have all the information that you sent over.
It was an amazing conversation. I'm not sure I'm up for anything like that so personally ever again. But yeah, it was an interesting experience, I have to say. You helped. Your personality helped me kind of sail through it.
Everything is perfect. Everything is perfect, exactly the way it happened in the moment.
All right. Well, thank you so much again for having me.
Well, thank you. And everybody, appreciate you. Love you. Look at the show notes. And if you want to reach out, please respond. Grateful for you. Till next time.
My hope is that you walked away with something today that has opened your mind, your heart, or both. Listening to new perspectives not only help you grow and expand, but it helps humanity as a whole. So if you have someone that you feel would benefit from this podcast and you feel that you want to share, please do. Also, would love to connect with you on Instagram. So please follow me at Miranda J. Mitchell. One last thing, if this episode left you with any ahas and insights, take 30 seconds of your time and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. This is the only way I know you are loving the content and connection in this space. And if you want to know more or wondering how we can work together, please go to miranda-mitchell.com, click on the contact in the menu, and send me a message. Sending you all love. Till next time.